go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 74 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. B-Man, the People's Degenerate. No co-hosts this evening. Willow did not want to participate, neither did Maui or Daisy or Lexi. Lots of doggies in the Glass family, an extended family. They were all on strike because I refused to pay them for their services. Now, I don't pay myself for my services either here at Verbal Graffiti, so I don't feel like a slumlord in this instance. We're running solo like usual here at Verbal Graffiti. Your host would be B-Man. I already said that. Move it along, B-Man. It is fall. The weather is changing. B-Man, how many times can you really call yourself B-Man? Are you talking about the weather? Seriously? Is that what we're doing here? Not the weather. I'm just pointing out that there was a frost this morning, which means I get to wear layers, and I'm a little girly girl. I like fashion. Anybody, any gal, any guy, any Chad who's into the fabric game knows that the best time to dress is when it's chilly out and you can wear layers, because that makes you feel and look mysterious, which the babes like a mysterious man, from what I've been told on the internet from the red pill fellas. It does seem like now that I am out of place recording myself and putting my recordings on the internet without trying to catch predators, because that is all that is on my feed. Am I the only one? I turn on the internet and all I'm seeing are vigilantes around the country, around the U.S., trying to confuse predators. They sneak them to pretend to be a child, and then let's meet up at somewhere in public, like Marshalls, and then they catch them and they beat them up, and then they bring the, you know, it's the amateur version of To Catch a Predator, which is amazingly enough. You mentioned To Catch a Predator on stage while doing stand-up. I don't, but the show that was on the air maybe 15 years ago, and everybody still gets a reference and laughs about it. Don't know why we're laughing about it, but yeah, that's all the internet is now. It's dating advice. It's vigilante to catch a predators. It is either far left or far right or radicalized, whatever you're into, or it's gaming, politics. I don't give a, we're just trying to be fun here at Verbal Graffiti, so let's keep it moving. Why am I talking about my feed? But yeah, these predators, vigilantes on the internet, there's so many of them now that there are groups that they can't go to certain metropolitan areas in the United States because there's already too many teams of a vigilante predator catchers in that city, so they have to go find other cities because it's so popular. It's Pokemon Go, but real life with real consequences. What was the year? 2016, 2017 was, if you were a dweeb, it was Pokemon Go. People getting run over by cars trying to catch the rarest of Pokemon. I don't know all the names. Today, 2024, we just got real. We're catching child diddlers. So I guess we're improving in society in that regard. I love the joke. I like the slow build, the slow burning punchline. Let me explain, all right? If you had seen my Love Your Community video that I put out a couple weeks ago, and I will admit, not many people have. I think it has maybe on Instagram fewer than 100, maybe 75 views. No big deal. It just took me 2 days to film and edit and to watch 75 people watch it. Whatever. Anyways, what I did If you did not see it, and I'll put the photo here of what actually happened. I took a, you know, when at a trail, there will be rocks where people write a little message or they draw a butterfly on it with paint and they make a line of the rocks. And it's a community building event. You see it, it warms your heart. Yeah, hell yeah, man. I'll write a little message and I'll extend the line of rocks and we'll all be happy together. Well, I did that and I have a sadistic, dark, dry sense of humor. So if you watch my video, again, I called it, check it out on my Instagram or TikTok. It's called Love Your Community. But what I did, I took a rock from my mother's backyard. I painted it white. And on the rock, I drew the message, go suck a fat one. That's right. I wrote, go suck a fat one. Then what I thought was funny is I filmed myself taking that rock, putting it at the end of the line, the rock line with all the pretty messages. And it, to me, I thought it'd be funny. Like after I left, like somebody would, for the first time, will look at all the rocks, look at all the motivational messages and names, and then they'd get to my message that said, go suck a fat one. And they'd be horrified. But like, who would do this? Like what kind of scoundrel would do that? And knowing that in my head, made me giggle. That's the funny. Like I put all that work and that effort, not so much to write the skit and show everybody, but to know that there'd be some stranger that would see that rock for the first time and be confused and bewildered and a little bit angry that there's a human out there that would try to disgrace a community building building thing. I don't even know that rock line. Here's what happened. I'll show you the photo right here if you're watching the video. I went back to the crime of the scene. I've been to this path maybe three times since I put that rock there and filmed it for the first time. And each time I've been there, there's somebody who's taken my rock, my go suck a fat one message, and they've turned it over to the other side so it's just a normal rock without any paint on it. They did not like throw it in the woods or take it and throw it in the garbage or just, discard of it somewhere. No, they just physically turned it over and left it there. So what did the beam? That makes my comedy insides this gloat with glee. Like I just won the World Series, knowing that it disturbed somebody. Somebody was so disturbed when they saw my go suck a fat one rock that they turned it over. That they actually took physical effort, physical muscle to not just look at it and go, oh, that's terrible. No, they actually took action and turned it over and tried to hide what I was trying to do. Knowing that that upset somebody so much, that fills my heart with joy. Maybe that's why my heart is black. It's certainly not because I smoke, because I don't smoke cigarettes. But that slow burn, I did all that work to anger somebody. I didn't ruin somebody's life. Just I ruined, for a few moments, I ruined their day. That made me laugh. That's funny. That's comedy for the love of the game. But here's what I did. The B-man, I'm spiteful. I saw someone turned it over. I kind of laughed knowing that someone turned that over. So what I did is I returned it over to show my message again, go suck a fat one. Now, I went back a second time after I recorded that, and somebody had turned it over again to hide my message, go suck a fat one. Again, it was just a normal rock without the paint and message. So what I did the second time I saw that happen, I returned it over. So now what's going on? For the last time I was there, it was go suck a fat one. So two times I've been there, somebody's turned it over to hide my message. So I am in a cold war with somebody in Cheshire, Connecticut, because somebody's angry at my message and keeps turning it over. They've done it at least twice now, and I've returned it over. So I know that person who's ever turning it over to hide my message is freaking the fuck out. Like, who is this guy? Who is this weirdo? Who is this? Who is this malcontent in our community who's trying to ruin this rock of peaceful messages, trying to build everybody up? Well, it's the B-man, the people's degenerate. And I'm spiteful. I am the most spiteful person you might ever meet. I am as headstrong as they come. And if you keep turning that over, I'm going to keep turning it back over. So if you want to stop seeing the Go Suck a Fat One rock, you better take it home with you, or you better throw it in the woods or in the little brook that is there. Because if you just turn it over and the rock is still there, I'll go there in the dead of winter when it's -5 degrees here in Connecticut with a wind chill of -25, and I'll turn it over with my bare hand, freeze, getting frostbite. Just the fuck with whoever keeps turning my rock over. You keep turning my Go Suck a Fat One rock, I'm coming after you. And I'm doing it in a passive-aggressive way, because that's who I am. I'm a spiteful, passive-aggressive guy. I'm a weirdo. But it makes me laugh so hard. So on the inside, it warms my heart, and I get a giggle that there's somebody who's gone home twice going, who the fuck would leave a rock like that? Like, who? And they keep turning it back over to show the message? Like, who? What is wrong with humanity? Brian Glass, that's what's wrong with humanity. With that out of the way, let's get into the episode. This one comes from the subreddit Purple Pill Debate. What do you think about women who wear a lot of rings? I'm talking about one ring on every finger. Do you think they're trying too hard to look wealthy? Do you think it's tacky, or rather, is it attractive? Just curious. Well, thank you for the post. It's none of the above. It's not attractive. It's not expensive. What it is gaudy. If you have, it's funny. You know, any woman or guy who has a ring on every finger has all the rings but the one they really want, which is the engagement ring. What I've seen is out there in public. Me, the B-man, I have a one ring. I became a ring guy last year. My nephew was wearing a ring. I'm like, oh, that looks nice, and maybe I should get a ring. And I've never been a jewelry guy up till then. But again, this is not about the B-man. Somehow I always make it about me. It's about crazy ladies with wearing a lot of jewelry on their fingers. So if you're wearing a ring on every finger, it's not wealthy. It's certainly not wealthy, because the more rings you have on your fingers at one time, the general rule is the less expensive all those rings are. There's more chances, if a babe has 10 rings, one on each finger, chances are all those rings cost under $25. Then the chances are each one costs over $2,500. That's just a general rule. The fewer rings on your fingers, the more expensive the rings cost. Hence, an engagement ring, if that's all a babe is wearing and it's got a big diamond, chances are that's like a $10,000 2-carat. I don't really know much about engagement rings because I've never been engaged. But that's it. You got one ring, very expensive. 10 rings, gaudy, cheap. When I see a woman, a babe, with 10 rings at the same time, it's similar to the laptop with all the stickers on the back of it. I just get the sense that screams clutter. If a woman has so much jewelry on her hands that there's no more fingers to put a ring on, I know without seeing where she lives that her bedroom, the bedroom drawers are open and it's overflowing with bras and blouses. And if you go to her like fake marble bathroom vanity, you can't see it because it's covered with deodorants and body sprays and all a mix of all the makeup supplies that, you know, you got to dig your way to find the Crest toothpaste in the morning. You guarantee whatever car she has, it probably has some cheesy some cheesy thing on a rearview mirror, maybe one of those stuffed animal dice, two dice hanging over her rearview mirror. Everything about her life is clutter. Again, this is not science. I haven't read any studies about this, but there is a strong correlation between having 9 to 10 rings at wearing at one time and dyeing your hair purple. If you have rainbow colored hair, there's a good chance you got a lot of fake silver on your fingers. Again, no science behind that. That's just me being out in life, doing a lot of stand up, seeing a lot of weird babes out late at night. That's just something I've picked up on. Tell me if you feel the same way. Yeah, nine finger. You're a trashy person if you're wearing that much jewelry. Someone who's wearing like more than 5 rings at one time, that lady is shopping at the trashy Trinity, which includes Walmart, Target, and Sephora. That's where she's getting all her clothing and jewelry and accessories from. Telltale sign, too. If she has that much jewelry on her fingers, she probably has a low credit score and is making under $50,000 annually. And I say this because in any professional setting, you will rarely see a lady or man who's wearing that much jewelry at one time. Go to any office or any work from home Zoom meeting that you can jump in on, and you'll notice very few people are wearing more than 2 rings. And most will have, the wedding or engagement ring, and maybe like a class ring or a weird ring like I have, because I'm trying to be a Chad alpha male. But very rarely will you see a lady who's just dripping with fox gold that weighs 3 pounds on her wrist and her hands. And if so, she's closer to the customer. Like, she might be a front desk lady who none of the doctors take seriously. That's the type of employee. The closer you get to the executive suites, the less likely you are to encounter an employee with that much jewelry exposed on their limbs, on their little finger digits. Yeah, because if you live in the suburbs, you leave your house at a regular time, you'll never see a lady or a guy with 10 rings on his fingers. That's a nighttime thing. That's somebody who... Someone wearing that much jewelry is not somebody who needs to be up at 7 a.m. each morning. That's somebody who's trying for attention, they're trying to be mysterious, trying to peacock. That's not, hey, we're going to make some trades today and try to do some day trading and beat the S&P 500. That's not what that is. And lastly, age is a major factor when it comes to jewelry. Any lady, any babe over the age of 40 who's wearing that many rings at the same time, you want to stay clear of her. A teenager, early 20s, early professional, you'll see a teenage girl wearing a lot of jewelry, or a girl, first year out of an internship out of college. That it's not great, but that's just a lady trying to figure out who she is, develop her own style. That's okay. But once you hit 40 and you're wearing that much jewelry, I know right away, you still have a roommate, you're still paying rent, you probably spent a summer of your life living at a national park, and you still date band members, but not the lead singer, probably the smelly drummer or bassist. And you fuck guys who live out of their van. That's the type of... Maybe there was a year or two where you did the whole, I'm not going to shave my armpit and legs type gal. So if you're over the age of 40 and yeah, that many rings on, just cross the street and avoid making eye contact with that person. Let's go look at some photos. Verbal Graffiti, we're back. Brian Glass, a.k.a. The B-Man. There's some of the best content and some of the best creators on the internet have fewer than 1,000 followers and nobody knows who they are. I found one of these creators today, and I've spent the last 6 hours before recording these episodes, when I was supposed to be working my day job, watching this lady's channel on YouTube. She goes by the name Black Ops Girl. I'll put a photo and maybe one of her videos right here. How shall I describe the way she looks? She has dark hair, very pale, very busty. She's very candid. She's bipolar, multiple personalities. She'll admit her weight is a little heavy set, but I'm very attracted to her. I like you know, busty, curvy women, and her whole channel is just showing her chest. It's her face, and then the top half of the camera is her face. Bottom half is her cleavage. She kind of resembles the busty mom from an Addams Family if she had to let herself go a little bit. And that's who the Black Ops Girl is. She's 28 years old, and basically her channel, what she does, as far as I can see from the last my 6 hours of viewing her live streams, is, and she has fewer than 1,000 followers. I know what that's like. She's trying to find love, right? She's trying to find love on the dating apps. And what she does is, she's 28. So she set her limits. I think it's like 25 to 35. She'll drink on Friday night, talk on a live stream like I am to you. And then she'll somehow FaceTime people who have liked her on the dating apps. And the ones who pick up the phone, she'll start the conversation right away, being like, "Hey, what's up? What are you doing?" A Black Ops Girl admits, like, she's a terrible conversationalist. All her conversations are they start off very boring. Like, "Hey, Zup, how was your day? How you doing, beautiful? How was your morning?" Just very small talk-esque. But she'll get into these conversations Friday night. All these guys are just getting out of work, you know, getting ready to get after it in a Friday evening in a big city. And she'll be like, "Hey, what are you up to?" And the guy will be like, "Hey, I just got out of work, head home from the gym. How about you?" And she'll be like, "Oh, I'm just drinking alone, calling guys from the dating apps. I'm looking for a husband." And she'll get into a conversation and she'll complain. You know, she had this last episode, since it's October, she was on the phone with a guy she's never met on a dating app, FaceTiming him. She does not tell the guy that, "Oh yeah, you're being live streamed on YouTube right now, and it's going out to all my followers," which is fewer than 1,000. But if I was a guy, and, you know, I'm trying to spit game to a girl from a dating app, I would like to know if she was blasting me off to the internet, even if her channel is not very big. It seems like that'd be common courtesy. I would do that here at Verbal Graffiti. She does not mention being online live at all. So some of these conversations are wild. So this last Friday night, she's talking to this guy, talking about how she can't find love and nobody takes her seriously, and what she could. And she asked the guy, like, "What are you going to do tonight?" She's like, "I was just going to cook a steak, maybe hang out with a couple of my friends a little later." And then he normal question return, "What are you going to do this evening, Miss Black Ops Girl?" And she goes, "Oh, well, I'm drinking alone, just calling you on FaceTime. I might dress up as a maid later tonight because, you know, it's near Halloween, so I have a nice, cute little maid outfit." And the guy goes, "Oh, where are you going? Are you going to a club with your girlfriends, or where are you going out to in that outfit?" And she goes, Black Ops Girl goes, no, "I'm just going to dress up here. I'm going to continue to drink, and I'm just going to dress up in a maid outfit and take photos of myself." And after the phone call, you know, the guy is like, "Hey, well, I'll come over and take photos of you if you want. And he tried turning the conversation sexual, which I don't blame the guy for the context of the conversation being had and what he's seeing on the phone. Again, this is FaceTime, so her cleavage is all out. It's all exposed. Ooh, baby. And then she gets off the phone with all these guys, and she's probably called during that live stream at least 7 guys who actually picked up. And then she would complain about how none of these guys would take her seriously and how everybody in her life has viewed her as a pump and dump. That's her term for, you know, pumping her and then not, you know, calling her the next day, not wanting to be in a real stable relationship with her. And then, but she's very candid about this. And she'll be like, yeah, like none of these guys will take me seriously. And, but she will admit, it's like, yeah, well, I do dress up and wear a lot of makeup when I go out on a date. I don't wear this way, you know, normal day out and about. But when I go on a date, yes, I do dress a little flirtatious. And it, as a viewer, I'm like, yeah, of course, you don't have to cover up, but you gotta, you know, present yourself a little better if you want to be taken a little bit more seriously on a mind level, not just that face to boobs, but cleavage level. But her mood like fluctuates. She again, she's candid. She does admit that I think it's bipolar. So she'll be giggling and laughing with the guys on the phone and with the people who are, even when you're live streaming, you can message and you can read the messages to people who are watching live. So she'll be laughing and calling people babe and have nicknames for everybody. And then in an instant, she'll start crying. I mean, like, I'm miserable. I'm never going to find a partner. I'm thinking about committing suicide. I'm super depressed. And then in the next sentence, she'll go, I know I shouldn't be depressed because I have 2 Ferraris and I don't have to work a full-time job and I can just play video games all day. And I've been watching this lady for 6 hours. She's 28 years old. She does not have a full-time job. And she has 2 luxury Ferraris or, you know, like cars like that. She does not work. And I do not know how she makes all this money. She's been adamant. It does not come from OnlyFans. So I'm kind of enthralled with this lady. I want to message her again, but her max is 35. And I'm 40, so like I'm out of her range, and it's not. I don't want to date her. I don't really want to talk to her. I think what it is, 6 hours of watching this lady and watching her mood, just the peaks and valleys of the highest of highs, laughing, giggling with a potential husband on the phone, to crying, talking about suicide within a minute. And I'm not joking. If you watch some of these videos of her, like, I'm not exaggerating. She goes from tears to suicidal to giddy high in 90 seconds. It's a roller coaster with this lady. But it occurred to me while watching this lady for 6 hours while I was supposed to be working, this might be the longest time I've ever spent with a babe one-on-one, even though technically we were not one-on-one. I've never spent a week with a babe, you know, non-family, family members, yeah, but, you know, sexual, interested, relationship-type babe. I don't think I've ever spent a weekend with a babe that I've been dating or interested in or seeing. I've never spent a weekend with the babe, which is, you know, that's pretty ridiculous to be 40 years old and never have done that. I think I've done a Friday through a Saturday night, but technically like a Saturday morning through a Monday morning. I've never done that. I don't know if I've ever done 2 nights with a babe. There was one time in college, and I bounced after one day because I got bored. I was like, "This is too weird. I gotta leave." But what my takeaway is, I've never been in a room with a woman with a babe for an extended period of time and being able to observe her mood swings and her actions for that time period uninterrupted. And I was able to do that today with Black Ops Girl. And it was frightening. It was so much like I was, you know, this is what voyeurism is. I'm watching this lady. I'm like, I would love just to spend a day hanging out with her, really pick her mind. I do get to know her, but I also have a conversation with her and see where it goes. But we all know women are batshit crazy. And I've really only seen like little hints of that over the years. But seeing her mood swings and I don't know if I have it within me to be able to handle those mood swings day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year with the same one. 6 hours with a stranger I've never met, and I'm mentally fatigued. I'm cramping at midfield, calling for the trainer, give me the Gatorade, please. Like, I'm cramping up my leg, stretch me out. I need assistance. But this lady, Black Ops Girl, she started this page. She's got 500 followers. I'm one of them. It's captivating. It's terrifying all at the same time. I guess that's what womanhood is. Yeah, it's the highest of highs and it's the lowest of lows. And you got to be man enough to go through those peaks and those valleys. And I just don't know if I'm strong enough. But it is entertaining. And I will be watching more of her. And I'm rooting for her. I hope she does find love and find her husband very soon and can get over this depression and not commit suicide. And I want to know how she has those cars. How do you have 2 Ferraris and never work a full-time job? Again, this is Verbal Graffiti. This is not Black Ops Girl. If something happens in her life and I view it, I'll share it with all of you. All right, this next one comes from the subreddit, The Girl Survival Guide. I stopped wearing bras in April because my chest isn't that big. And the bras I have are honestly just too uncomfortable to want to wear, and it's usually been fine. Except today, someone was staring at my chest on the bus and came up to me to tell me off for being gross for not wearing one, and I just feel kind of off over the whole situation. Should I just find something comfy to wear so I don't have to deal with that? Or were they just being really weird? I would like to apologize for coming up to you on the bus this morning unprompted and telling you to put a bra on. That was rude for me to do so. In my own defense, and I know it's a weak defense, but I started drinking vodka earlier than I normally do on weekdays. I had some meetings today, so I had a few more shots with my cereal than normal. That's why I was a little bit more frisky than I usually am on the public bus. So my apologies for telling you, a stranger, to wear a bra while you're in public. That was rude, and I promise to try to not to do that again. All right, on a more serious note, I have a theory. Can somebody explain to me, if you're a babe and you're A cups or your B cups or lower, why are you wearing a bra? In my thought process, if you're an A cup or a B cup, you should not be wearing bras. That is a waste of fabric. That is a waste of time for you to be wearing a bra because there's nothing for the bra to hold up. Isn't that the whole point of the brassiere, is to lift your boobs and hold them in place? But if you're flat-chested like you are, you're flat-chested like the B-man. B-man, I've never worn a bra. And it's not because I'm a man. No, it's because I'm flat-chested. There's nothing for me the hold. There's nothing to fill. There's no cups to be filled because I'm just flat chested. So if you're a woman and you have, all you have are titties, but nothing back into titties up, why are you wearing a bra? To me, you should not have to wear a bra. I've never understood why flat-chested babes wear bras. That seems like a waste of time, a waste of fabric. It's not useful. What's the purpose? There is no purpose. I've never been able to figure this out. Maybe you wear a bra if you're flat-chested to hide your nipples. If you're wearing a tight shirt, a really thin shirt, and you're a little horny, maybe your nipple are cold. The guys, the fellas, the Johns like myself, we could see the nipples. But like, we all have nipples. It's not like, oh yeah, big deal. I could see, like, sometimes when I wear a cotton t-shirt, like, my nipples will show, and nobody's diddling themselves or getting horny because of it. It's like, yeah, you got nipples. You got two of them. If you have more than two, all right. Like, that's something to talk about. But two nipples, flat-chested, you shouldn't have to care if anybody, you know, sees the outline of that from your blouse. It's funny. It is funny, too. Sometimes a babe will tell you, like, oh, yeah, I wear a bra so that my nipples don't show. But she'll be flat-chested, and she'll have a skirt on that's so mini that she could trip over her labia. It's like, oh, that's what you're worried about being exposed, is your protruding nipples from your flat chest. Maybe you should put on a... All right, I'm not going to tell the babes how to dress. Who the fuck am I to be telling anyone how to dress? I'm very pro A cup, B cup. Don't wear a bra. Maybe if a sports bra at most, if you're doing physical activity. Otherwise, this guy was in the wrong. What you need to do is the reason why this guy was able to fluster you so much on the bus is because you don't have a philosophy. What you need to do is examine your life, examine the culture, examine society. Get off your phone for a few hours, for a few weeks, and look inward and outward and mold yourself a philosophy, a code by which you live. And when you do that, it will act as a Teflon shield, because you'll have a code, a standards by which you live, that will act as a shield from these Johns and these hobos that come up to you and slander you and make rude comments to you. And it will just bounce off because you have a code by which you live and that you've examined. You've built this philosophy. So when somebody comes at you, it's like, no, that's not within my code. So just fuck off. You remember a few episodes where they, hey, go fuck yourself? You'll have that go fuck yourself ready when you have a philosophy by which you live. And you don't have that. That's why this guy, this stranger, this hobo, came up to you on a bus, told you, hey, you should wear a bra. That nearly made you have an existential crisis. Reason being is because you don't have that code. You haven't examined what life is and how you are going to reside and prosper within the current lexicon in which we all live. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Develop that code, develop that philosophy. And you also got to do your big takeaway from this, other than coming up with a code of living, is it really has nothing to do with whether to wear a brassiere or not. The big takeaway from this is you should not be taking public transit. That is the big takeaway. My mode whenever I take public transit is everybody's a predator until proven otherwise. Everybody's a criminal. Everyone's out to get me. Till you do a good deed or you avoid eye contact with me. That's the big takeaway from this is get to a place in life where you don't have to take the bus wherever it is you're going. Try to get a vehicle. I know we all shit on L.A., but I'll tell you what, the people in L.A., they all drive. They've never been accosted by a hobo. You know, a hobo's never told them, hey, put a bra on, because everyone's driving a car. They're not taking the subway like they do in New York. That is the big takeaway from this. So you're flat chested. That sucks. Also, get implants so you can actually, you know, fill those cups with your bra. All right, we're going to end this episode by continuing to read The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence, published date 1977. And as always, it's weird when you read two pages at a time and then like, hey, next episode, we'll continue reading. When you're reading erotic literature, sometimes you end up in a point reading two pages without getting the payoff. So again, just pro-consent. The consent will come down the road. These next two pages, not so much. So again, pro-consent here in real life. But yeah, you stay along with Verbal Graffiti. We'll see through it. We'll get the better days, better nights, better lovemaking. All right, page 15 and 16, if you're reading along. "Don't," she cried, "don't." Her husband was past all reason now. His body was hot with excitement, and his loins burned with lust. With a deep animal groan, he threw himself on her and began covering her face and shoulders with kisses. She struggled beneath him, pinned by his powerful body, but trying desperately to get away. She twisted and tried to resist, but Alan was nearly insane with desire, and he began to suck and bite on her tender breast while his hand grasped the curly, soft mound of her pubic triangle. He probed roughly with his middle finger now, ignoring her cries of pain and distress, and he plunged deep inside her slightly moistened cuntal sheath. "No!" she cried, clamping her vaginal muscles tightly to refuse him entry. "You bitch!" he cried as she resisted. "You damn bitch!" Pamela could scarcely believe her ears. He had never talked to her that way before. Furious at her resistance to his exploration of her pussy, Alan suddenly seized a lewd, vulgar thought. He pulled away from her and roughly turned her over so that she lay on her stomach on the bed. He pressed one hand roughly on her shoulders to keep her from moving. With the other, he slapped the white, fleshy half moons of her buttocks as if punishing her for her behavior. "Oh!" she screamed as he slapped her upturned ass cheeks over and over again. "Please!" The sharpening stings were excruciating, yet oddly, they reminded her of the punishment she had often received at boarding school, and the thought made her shiver with a tinge of excitement, despite the shame and humiliation she now felt. Suddenly, Alan stopped, and with the palms of his hands, he roughly spread her shivering buttocks wide, and his eyes zeroed in on the tiny orifice of her puckered anal passage. He let his fingers graze obscenely down along the open crack. Pamela was totally mortified. No one had ever touched her back there, ever. She never imagined that anyone would ever explore that area. It was the grossest, most vulgar thing in the world, she thought. "Oh, God," she cried. "Alan, what's happened to you?" But Alan paid no attention to her. His eyes were riveted to the tight entrance of her anus, and he was filled with crude, compulsive desires. "After all," he thought, "if I can't take her in the pussy, then I can take her in other ways, can't I? Go suck a fat one."